I want to greet each one of you in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here. It's a blessing to be here for this weekend, this activity that was planned for, can I say, a special group of people. It's too bad that some of you couldn't be in that, but anyhow, we didn't know what we were getting into when we were 6 and 7 years old. I was just trying to backtrack a little bit, and coming to church with my parents Sunday after Sunday, and little by little the church kind of grew. And as a child like that, you just adapt and you look out for what's fun for you. You don't necessarily think how this is going to end up in the future. You don't worry about those things. We kind of put our trust in our parents, don't we? And their decisions. And as we grow, we heard this morning in the devotional, appreciate that, David. That's so true. As we grow, I remember after I was married, I had made quite a few decisions in life by that time. But after I was married, I was like, oh, wow, I have to make these decisions on my own now. And my feet are not under mom and dad's table anymore. And I remember that, that reality hit me kind of hard. But there was still, I was blessed with having a father that didn't mind listening and sharing with me his thoughts, and mother as well. I was so thankful for my Christian parents. And I just want to, there are still some mothers here. From back when I was a child, mothers of other young men. Just want to thank you for your faithfulness and the many things that you did for us boys. I guess one memory, let me just share this. Tim was up here. Tim and I are sharing this responsibility this morning, I guess. Tim and I's birthday are in the same day. And so that was kind of one thing we looked forward to. Together sometimes. It wasn't often, but once in a while we were allowed to take our friends and go to Tim's place. And Martha said, it's okay, yeah, come on over. And we're going to celebrate Sam and Tim's birthday today. And we got to go there after school and play ball or do whatever. Tim had a lot of options. He had a big field, creek running down through the bottom, and trees to climb, and all kinds of things to do over there. So we enjoyed that very much. So yeah, it's just really great to be able to get together and these last couple of days reminisce and to be encouraged. The faithfulness that we see and people that grew up in our grade or our school, whatever, in this area. It's a blessing. And I challenge you to keep that light shining today, those of you that follow. You children, your parents, wherever they've led you, there's decisions been made. They're looking out for your future. And honor that. Honor what that, it's the Word of God. That's really what it comes back to. Appreciate very much the prelude, I guess, to the sermon this morning. If you will, turn with me to John. John chapter 6. And as I thought about this a little bit, I was like, oh my. You probably discussed this, and this is just something, again, that you're hearing. My title of my message this morning is Christ, the Bread of Life. Christ, the Bread of Life. John 6, chapter 22. I'm not going to read this whole portion here. I hope you'll bear with me, Andy. There's a song that really goes with this with this I am the bread of life. And the thought crossed my mind that you have a men's group that knows that song here, don't you? Could we hear that song this morning sometime? Do you feel comfortable? I'm not going to ask you if you feel comfortable. I'm going to ask you if you would have your men's group lead that song sometime. Would that be an option? Okay, thank you. I want to ask you right now. I'm going to let you tremble a little. No, you don't tremble like I do. But as we were singing this song this morning, if ye then be risen with Christ, what a beautiful song. Beautiful song. Again, goes with the message this morning. It says, middle verse, let no anxious thoughts perplex thee, or temptation still dismay. Think whene'er the clouds surround thee, soon shall dawn a brighter day. You know, that is so true. And just like we had a terrific storm come through the other day, you know, sometimes we feel a lot of clouds. We see a lot of clouds, and that's about all we see is clouds. And, you know, that storm goes through, and we cling to Christ. We cling to those promises, and we go through that storm. And on the other side, here comes the sun. Here comes the sunshine in our lives. We can do it because of Christ. Christ is the bread of life. Here in Capernaum here, there were some of the people that were kind of reaching out to see Jesus. And they saw that he wasn't down where he was normally at. And the disciples were gone. And so some of them decided, well, we want to find Jesus. And I'm not sure exactly what was driving them, but Jesus made a statement later. And he said, you're not here because you really want to know what I want to teach you. You're here because I gave you bread. Verse 26. In verse 25, it says in 6:25, John 6:25, and when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when comest thou hither? I'm not sure why that was so important to them, but that was a question that they asked him. Why are you here? And when did you get here? And then Jesus said, verse 26, verily I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Oh, what part, what percentage of Christendom today that we know is a part of this people? Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. And then we go on, and there's the discussion here about verse 31. Our fathers, he talks to them, they're saying, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Too many people stop at that bread that they take a part of, and it's really not unto everlasting life. They kind of stop before it gets there. They want to be associated with Christ and his people, but they stop before they really get to know and take part of his life. Verse 34, then said they unto him, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I am come down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Men, if you could prepare to come up and give us that song, that would be great. Go ahead. Okay. I would like to give us a little bit. You just let me know when you're ready. I would like to give us a little bit of a drawing here. I don't know how this bread came down, but I think, let's say it didn't come down. It was part of the dew, I think, in the morning. But it was all over, this manna was all over the ground. We're talking about the manna. Yeah, this probably isn't right. I don't think it came down from heaven, but it was there. They looked at it, and they said, you know, that was the bread of heaven. That was the heavenly bread. That was given to us from Moses. Jesus is talking about a little something else. This is something that most people can relate to. I'm not the best drawer in the world. I'm not a professional artist. But we're going to say this is a sliced bread. Doesn't those thick slices look good to you? Oh, there was nothing like coming home from school and the smell of that good bread. And we'd go over there and start cutting, and it had to be the right kind of knife or the bread would just go whoosh. And so sometimes your slices got a little thicker than others, you know, because they were heavy. But that was really good. Oh, Mom, thank you for that good homemade bread and that... Oh, good apple butter on there. Oh, yeah. Okay. So a lot of us know what a loaf of bread is. I think back in that day, bread was probably more of a staple than it is in our day. I don't know. But in the world in general, bread is very important. I was in Romania to visit, and there they make a hard crusted bread. And I remember, you know, some of those loaves we bought and to bring back to the mission just never made it back to the mission because it smelled so good and it was hot, and we just broke bread right there.
Good bread. Then you have this. Jesus said, I am that bread.
Now, before we get too far, let me just bring out a few things here that the Jews understood. They understood that it was, they thought maybe he was talking about the manna, and they argued with him and said, Moses gave us that bread. I have a few questions here. Do I know my Jesus as the bread of life? Do I know him personally? Do I take part of the life that he has for me, for my family, for my home? Do I long? You know, Tim read this morning, those that blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. And believe me, brothers and sisters, if you want righteousness, you have to seek for it. And Christ is where we get that from. Christ in his words Christ and His teachings. Knowing Christ, spending time with Him, seeking for Him, making Him a part of your life. That is how we get to know, how we partake of that bread. Is He that important to me? You know, if we would have come here and Jewel said, well, you're all responsible for your own meals. I'm sorry, I don't really feel like getting it. And it's just, you know, it's just too much work. And, you know, that's part of our fellowship. That's part, so can I say it's part of our culture that we like to enjoy good food. Well, being in the food business, if I don't sell good food, if my food, if the food that I'm preparing and selling to my customers isn't appreciated, and it's only so-so, they can go other places and probably get maybe not the same thing, but something that they can eat for a lot less money. So the challenge for me is then to prepare something that people come back for. And we have a lot of return customers. Okay, that's kind of maybe a crude illustration. But we enjoy partaking. We enjoy eating together, fellowship together. It just kind of goes together a lot of times. And I believe that's part of church life. It's that fellowshipping and enjoying and cooking. And bless you ladies for learning how to do that. And some of us men enjoy it. And yeah, we help. How important is that bread? How important is this bread to me? Jesus says later in the chapter, I think I'll just read it. In verse 43, they argued with him there for a little bit and saying, you know, Joseph we know, verse 42, and they said unto him, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I am come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. This has probably got them to looking at each other out of the corner of their eyes, and they were shaking their heads, or they may have been shaking their heads and just like, what is he saying? Not that any man has seen the Father save he which is of God. He has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. What beautiful words. I will give. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And we know that took place right here. They didn't understand it. But the disciples understood it later. And that's why they got in trouble for teaching it. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us this flesh to eat? Now these next verses are somewhat difficult, and they're not beautiful when we think of physical. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. What did this manna signify? I believe that this manna, let me say this right, that the manna was like an antitype of Christ. And that meaning that Christ was the real thing and the manna was something that was a type of him. It's a little bit like I got to looking up anatype. I was like, what is that word, anatype? I kind of enjoy words sometimes. Anatype is a little bit like a typewriter. And the old typewriters, not the ones of today, but the old typewriters, when you had to push the button and it would go click, that was a type. That was a type. On the end of that little plunger was a letter. Say it was S. And when you took that little button and you pushed down on it, it went click and made a copy through the ribbon onto the paper. The little S on the arm was the real thing. Christ is the real thing. The manna was somewhat of a type of Christ coming. Christ, who he was. The manna as a word means, what is it? Remember reading about how the children of Israel, when this manna was there, and Moses said, go out and gather. They said, what is it? That's what manna means. When Christ came, he brought questions to a lot of people. Who is this? Who is this man? Even the Pharisees were saying, who is this? Isn't this Joseph's son? He had a father and mother. He can't be the Son of God. He's an imposter. I can imagine how they would have felt. The children of Israel considered this manna, this miracle bread from heaven. Christ said, I am the bread from heaven. This manna was daily nourishment for those people that were going through traveling this journey. There was so much manna that all the people could gather, and they had plenty. And when the weekend came, there was enough for the Sabbath, and it kept over. There was enough for everyone. Christ is enough for everyone. Everyone. And you know, you partake once and again and again. It's a little bit like I was thinking about how we eat bread. You know, we don't take this slice, we don't take this whole loaf and we go, it goes all in our mouth at one time. We can't do that. We choke. Even one piece, especially the crust, you take a little bit longer to digest and chew. It's one bite at a time. And I believe that is how Christ expects us to live for him, one day at a time. Sometimes it's one moment at a time. Sometimes there are times when what we're called to bear seems almost more than I can handle. But if we can just look at that one bite at a time, we cling to that bread of life. It's daily nourishment. It's proteins, it's vitamins. There's much in good bread. The manna was given to the whole nation of Israel, but it was to be gathered individually. And this is the way Christ is. He's given for all mankind. Back then, it was for his own people. But now, since Christ came, it is for all mankind. And that is the bread of life. He is available to all kindreds, all nations, all people. It is not just by certain whatever, not just by one certain blood of people, whatever. Anyone can partake of that bread. Again, there's many verses to support that, but we're going to go on to the thought that we get from some of this is that, you know, without that bread, Without that bread, one thought was that I had was that God experienced obedience, because when they gathered more of this bread than they were, than Moses had told them, it spoiled, and God said that would happen, and they did. They tried it, some of them, and it stank. It said so they had to throw it away. Another thing is that God provided for their needs every day, and this was a special provision that God gave to them. Christ does that for us. The manna was a good reminder of who was taking care of them. And sometimes I think, we were talking about that this morning in Sunday school, you know, we kind of like to be in control. We like to know what's going on. We like to know the agenda. We like to know the plan. We kind of plan around, especially, let's say we have a business plan or something that we want to stick by, and we'll make this thing work. When things go out of control, just this weekend, we had a lot of rain coming. I keep going on bunny trails here, but this was a concern for me, because we never had happen what we had happen a year ago or so, a little over a year ago. Water started coming, started getting our parking lot, and started coming, kept coming more. In an hour's time, the parking lot got from a big puddle to almost running in the buildings. We're not in a low spot. We're not in a valley. This did not make sense to me. We really went through an experience there. And so, yeah, we had to get pumps to pump our little pond out so there's more water could drain through it. It was just, wow. We actually did have some water coming in, but thankfully the girls were coming down that day. So instead of being open, we got rid of water. So I didn't want that to happen yesterday. And so they were able to take care of that situation. But like I say, there's some times that things get beyond our control. And what do? And, you know, God always has a way for us. But sometimes there's lessons to learn through that. You know, this manna reminded them that they were a special people with a special heritage. And I think, like I said, anyone can partake of that bread of Christ. It's available for all people anytime. And, you know, praise God that we can do that. This bread of life gives us something way more than the bread that we partake of, that we eat, physical bread. Christ, the bread of life. Miraculous birth. Miraculous worker, miracle worker, miraculous resurrection, miraculous ascension. There were so many miracles that came with Christ. Andy, are you ready, or you want to wait? Well, at this time, I would like to have the group come up and sing this song about the bread of life. God bless you as you sing.
This is one of our favorite songs to sing, and so we're happy to share this slice with you this morning.
This bread will never die. God's love revealed. I am broken that you might be healed. No one who comes to me will hunger again. No one who believes will ever thirst. All that the Father draws will come to me, and I will give them rest. I am the bread of life. All who eat this bread will never die. I am God's love revealed. I am broken that you might be healed. That you might be
Thank you, brothers. Thank you so much. Miracles. Miracle birth. Miracle healer. Died. And rose again. And is now sitting at the throne of God, interceding for you and I. Reaching down and healing, some more. No, it's not always physical healing that we experience. I lost a father. Father is where he wanted to go. I lost a brother. I thought way too early. It's not always physical. But it goes way deeper. He heals our souls. He heals our hearts. He gives himself of himself to all men who seek him. Yet, he must be sought by each person individually. There is way more than enough of himself to go around. Everywhere, he is needed. He provides a daily dose for anyone gathering or digesting his word or himself. This bread, comes from the broken body of Christ, beaten, pounded, bruised, and broken once and for all, then buried, and then resurrected to claim power over the grave, over death, and over sin triumphant. There is so much power there. I listened to the train going by Robert's place this morning. I heard it a long time before it came. But as those, there was like two engines in front and three engines behind. And I remember years ago as a school, we took a tour through the train operation in Springfield, I believe. I didn't know that much about motors. But I was following Loane, and he knew a whole lot more than I did. And he was exclaiming how huge these pistons are. they had an engine there that the top was off of it. And they were working on the motor. Those pistons were like, you know, the size of a bucket. and maybe whatever. And pistons, of course, are a big part of the power process. Amazing power to push those 150, 180, 200 cars or whatever. Lots of power, uphill and down. Christ, way more power than those. Resurrected to give life and nourishment to the spirit of all mankind, all those who choose him. This bread of life is capable of sustaining you through a wilderness experience. This bread of life, if it's taken daily, has the capacity to usher your soul into eternal life. After you can no longer make decisions, you have no control over your destiny. This bread of life has the ability to take your soul into a future that is way beyond we can imagine. I need to bring this to a close. As the children of Israel murmured and complained over eating this heavenly bread, so the Jewish leaders murmured and sought to kill Christ, who came to be the bread of life. And I already read how to eat of this bread. I have a few thoughts to share in closing. I believe in Christ. These are some things Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. How can I partake of this bread of life? Well, we heard that this morning already. The verses that Brother Tim read explain so much of that. I believe in Christ. We believe that he is, that he was there. The story of the Word. The story of the Scriptures. We believe it. We believe that he is. That he is the Son of God. That he is a living God. I choose to listen and to obey to his word. I choose to seek to know him. And I desire his will and his way in my life. It's a surrender of control. It's putting him as the pilot of my vessel. We're out on the East Coast there, and I enjoy boats and ships, and we cross the bridge quite often. I see these huge, huge container ships out there, and I could just kind of imagine a little bit what it would be like to be a pilot of one of those vessels. I think it would be interesting, but I'm sure without training, it would be terrifying at times. But isn't it that way in life sometimes? We are terrified by the waves, the huge, huge waves that tend to just swallow us and make havoc of our life. I'm willing to partake of the fellowship of his suffering. Whatever he calls me to do, to go through for him, I am willing to do that. I give myself to him to be used in his way. I'm willing to endure pain and rejection for his sake. I reflect to others of the life and the nourishment that he's giving me. I share that. My life is shared with others. What he gives to me, I share. It's like the sun. The sun shines and I reflect him. Not of me, but of him. It reflects that light. I will experience and show evidence of the spirit fruit in my everyday living. People will see that I have Christ living within me. That is evidenced by what people experience around me. I have faith in and believe his promises that they are true, that they are for me. I believe that Christ came to establish the church. I believe that the brotherhood is a gift Christ gives us through teachings of himself and that of the apostles. We can see that through the teachings of the New Testament, that brotherhood was a gift, and it's also a mystery. And that through baptism I become a member in that body. That is partaking of Christ. That is eating of his body. May God bless you as you serve him in your local areas, wherever that may be. And keep that connection with Christ. And as much as we desire the physical food, we enjoy that, and sometimes too much, we use that same vigor, that same zeal in seeking Christ and making him, allowing him to be a part of my life.